The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Derek Frost for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading from the Triangle Business Journal. And this week, we'll be reading a listing of the latest stories in the Triangle Business Journal. Our first story, Chapel Hill Public Company shrinks share volume by nearly 99%. And this is written by Zach Ezone. A small pharmaceutical company in Chapel Hill is implementing a reverse stock split to try to maintain its place on the NASDAQ amid a nationwide increase in such action. 10X Therapeutics, NASDAQ, T-E-N-X, announced the move Friday as its shares have traded below $1 for most of the year. This follows the company's previous reverse stock split at the beginning of 2023. The company's shareholders approved the action during a November 30 meeting. As a result, every 80 shares of company stock will be combined into one share. The split will reduce the company's number of shares of common stock issued and outstanding from about 23.86 million to 292,281, a nearly 99% decrease in the number of shares, 10X said in a statement Friday. The company's stock was trading below 30 cents Friday, with a market cap of $6.66 million. 10X isn't alone in the move. Many companies have been forced to take action as stock prices have slumped amid a brutal year for the life sciences sector. NASDAQ officials processed 196 reverse stock splits in 2022, compared to 31 in 2021 and 94 in 2020. As of June 23rd, NASDAQ officials had processed 164 reverse stock splits. The increase led NASDAQ earlier this year to propose additional listing rules that require more notification and disclosure from companies pursuing reverse stock splits. The SEC issued an order November 1 approving the rule change. In addition to maintaining its place on the NASDAQ, 10X believes the reverse stock split will make its stock more attractive to a broader range of investors. The company, in an October filing with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, said it believes that the current market price of its common stock may prevent or deter certain institutional investors, professional investors, and other members of the investing public from purchasing stock. 10X is a small drug developer focused on advancing an oral treatment for pulmonary hypertension with heart failure with preserved ejection fraction. The company announced in November that the U.S. Food and Drug Administration had cleared its investigational new drug application, enabling 10X to move forward with the first of two Phase 3 studies for its lead program, TNX-103. 10X is the latest life sciences company in the triangle to try to maintain its place on the NASDAQ through a reverse stock split. Redhill Biopharma, NASDAQ, RDHL, which has headquarters in Raleigh and Israel, implemented a reverse stock split at a 1-for-40 ratio in March, but the company's stock would later fall back below $1 a share before rising in late November after the company announced it had secured 5 years of market exclusivity from the FDA for its drug Talicia. More recently, Science 37, NASDAQ, SNCE, a company focused on clinical research technology, implemented a 1-for-20 reverse stock split that became effective December 8. This was the company's first stock split since going public through a merger with a special purpose acquisition company in 2021. Another company, Precision Biosciences, NASDAQ, DTIL, is also pursuing a potential reverse stock split. Company shareholders will meet on January 18 to decide whether to approve a reverse stock split between a ratio of 1-for-10 and 1-for-30. What Triangle bankers are watching for in 2024. And this is written by Lauren Onasorge. After a year of bank failures, rising interest rates, and a general feeling of uncertainty, Triangle bankers still say their outlook for their institutions and the Triangle region remains bullish. Growth will keep happening, although in some cases at a slower pace than in past years, bank leaders told the Triangle Business Journal. Jim Sills, CEO of M&F Bank in Durham, said there are plenty of opportunities ahead for his institution, a historically black-owned bank working to leverage $80 million in new capital for growth, but there's still plenty to worry about. The economy worries me the most, Sills says. We need a soft landing with a reduction in interest rates to keep the Triangle and North Carolina moving forward. Sills said he's hearing from customers concerned about how high borrowing costs are impacting small businesses. Travis Bailey, Triangle president for First Bank, said his customers are also worried about access to capital. I feel this concern will start to shift early to mid-2024 given the possible downward trend in interest rates, Bailey said. Brian Reed, Triangle president of Town Bank, said his customers are worried about talent recruitment and the increased costs of doing business going into the new year. He said the biggest challenge of 2023 was in communication, making sure customers understand, quote, that our bank and the banking industry overall is very strong and that there is not a systemic banking problem, unquote. Some top concerns have nothing to do with macroeconomics. At First Horizon, Triangle Market President Laura Bunn said, fraud continues to be a significant concern going into the new year, a topic the bank is educating its customers on. Her advice to new bankers in 2024? Be curious, nimble, resilient, and adaptable, she said. The goal for bankers is to earn the role of our client's trusted advisor, building strong relationships that weather any economic cycle. And our next article is also written by Lauren Onasorge. The biggest data breaches disclosed in North Carolina in 2023. Privacy for hundreds of thousands of North Carolinians took a hit in 2023 as data breaches plagued companies across the nation. The breaches with the biggest North Carolina impact came down to outside vendors and in some cases the so-called MoveIt hack that impacted millions across the country. That's according to data breach disclosures provided to TBJ by the North Carolina Department of Justice. Digital banking platform Alligent received a notification from its vendor, Progress Software, that a vulnerability was being used to exploit its systems, potentially impacting 300,000 North Carolina residents. The so-called MoveIt hack targeted corporate customers of Progress Software's MoveIt file transfer tool. As a result, the hack impacted Progress Software's partners, including companies doing business in North Carolina. But even without the MoveIt hack specifically mentioned in a disclosure, third-party relationships caused strain for companies. They were involved in each of the top three breaches, according to disclosures filed by companies. MGM Resorts notified state officials in October that an unauthorized third party obtained personal information of some of its customers in September. Though bank account numbers weren't affected, passport numbers and Social Security numbers were vulnerable in the attack, the firm told the state in its disclosure. Caesars Entertainment told the state it discovered in September that it was the victim of a social engineering attack on an outsourced IT support vendor, putting driver's licenses and Social Security numbers at risk. Of the top 10 data breaches disclosed to the North Carolina Department of Justice, all but one were described as hackers' unauthorized access. Nuance Communications, the eighth biggest breach on the list in terms of North Carolinians impacted, classified its issue as data theft by employee or contractor. According to the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center nationwide, there were 58,859 reports of personal data breaches in 2022, the most recent report available. And now we have a section called TBJ Plus, written by Dane Huffman, managing editor of the Triangle Business Journal. Embers put on a lively show at Raleigh's Rialto. Raleigh's Rialto Theater had a hit recently with the Embers Christmas show. Hayes Permar and a new ownership group have revamped the programming at the Rialto in Raleigh with more live music in addition to a heavy run of classic Christmas films. The Rialto was packed December 23rd when the Embers performed before a sold-out audience. Instead of playing I Love Beach Music and other classics, Craig Willard and the band ran through a wide variety of Christmas songs, including Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. The lively night included surprise appearances from Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and Santa himself. While Ira David Wood III's epic run in A Christmas Carol will always be hard to top, the Embers' performance had the feel of something that could quickly become a local tradition at a place that is reinventing itself in light of changes in the film industry. Record year for North Carolina Zoo. Attendance at the North Carolina Zoo in Asheboro has soared to record levels this year as the zoo passed 1 million visitors for the first time. Last year, the zoo set a record with 930,000 visitors, but with dozens of new animals this year, attendance shot up. Ran Liu became the millionth visitor to the park when he visited with his family December 27. Being recognized as the millionth guest was a pleasant surprise and an honor, Lou said. The zoo is an awesome place to bring my family. The animals seem happy and well cared for, and I appreciate the effort staff members make to provide large habitats for the animals to live and play in. I always look forward to coming back. Raleigh Restaurant shuts down. An Asian restaurant on the edge of North Hills has closed permanently. Koi Grill and Sushi, located in a plaza at the corner of Six Forks and Millbrook Roads, announced it has closed following the end of its lease. It's with mixed emotions that we share the news of our permanent closure. Our lease has come to an end, and regrettably, we have chosen not to renew it, the five-year-old business posted on its website. The restaurant, led by Chef Jason Chow, served lunch and dinner and featured a sushi menu. Bowl Game Blues. Back in 2016, running backs Christian McCaffrey of Stanford University and Leonard Fournette of LSU surprised college football by skipping their bowl games to prepare for the National Football League draft. Turns out it was a trend in the making. This year, a slew of top prospects skipped their bowls, including the University of North Carolina quarterback Drake May and NC State University linebacker Peyton Wilson. But even UNC receiver Dez Walker passed on Carolina's bowl game, even though he's not ranked among the top 14 receivers by ESPN and projects as a middle-round pick at best. For good or bad, this turns many of the bowls into glorified exhibition games and less exciting for fans. Tar Heel fans, after a disappointing ending to the season, basically skipped the Duke's Mayo Bowl, even though it was in Charlotte. Of the 42,925 fans, many were from West Virginia University. NC State's loss in the Pop-Tarts Bowl in Orlando, Florida, came before 31,111 fans. Holt Peppers nominated for Pro Football Hall of Fame. On the subject of football, congratulations to Torrey Holt, NC State, and Julius Peppers, UNC, for being among the 15 finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. As many as 5 of the 15 will be inducted. Peppers, who played the majority of his career with the Carolina Panthers, was a dominant defensive lineman after starring in football and basketball at UNC. This is the 10th time Holt has been up for the honor. His teammate from the St. Louis Rams, Isaac Bruce, joined the Hall in 2020. Bruce's career numbers were higher, but not much more so than Holt's, and Holt remained 17th in all-time receiving yards, 22nd in receptions, and tied for 42nd in receiving touchdowns. Holt is now in the construction business here in Raleigh. Bill Cowher, a star linebacker at NC State and head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, became the first Wolfpacker to enter the Hall when selected in 2020. UNC's only Pro Football Hall of Famers are linebackers Lawrence Taylor and Chris Hamburger. Apartment market cools down. Triangle residents looking for apartments got a bit of relief in 2023 as the market tended to cool, according to Rent Cafe's year-end report. In 2022, the number of renters competing for an apartment was 12, a number that dropped to 8 in 2023. Apartments stayed vacant for 30 days in 2022 compared to 34 in 2023, and significantly, the occupancy rate dropped from 95.2% in 2022 to 93.6% in 2023. Flexcation locations include Asheville. Work from anywhere is likely here to stay, and a recent report by Coworking Cafe lauded Asheville as among the top places to mix work with pleasure over the holiday season. Co-working Cafe said it analyzed more than 400 markets through a variety of metrics to determine the best places to visit and work. Not surprisingly, it ranked Fort Lauderdale, Florida, as the top market, but Greenville, South Carolina, followed at number 2. Wilmington ranked number 14 for its natural wonders, milder winters, and great food. And our next story is written by Christina Georgakopoulos, a reporter for the Tampa Bay Business Journal. Billionaire sues Bank of America over sale of Washington Commanders. Tampa billionaire and former minority owner of the Washington Commanders, Robert Rothman, is suing Charlotte-based Bank of America Corporation on claims that employees conspired with the NFL team's controversial owner, Daniel Snyder, to commit a variety of misdeeds, including fraud, extortion, bribery, and embezzlement. Rothman claims Bank of America and Snyder's double dealing ultimately led to the franchise's minority owners to sell their shares back to Snyder at a discount that was far below the $6 billion valuation Snyder received when he sold the team earlier this year, according to the complaint filed in the Middle District of Florida court. A spokesperson for Bank of America did not immediately return a request for comment. Daniel Snyder was not named as a defendant in the suit and could not be reached for comment. Rothman, the CEO of Black Diamond Group, had been a longtime client of Bank of America's investment banking and wealth management businesses dating back to the early 1990s. He alleges bank employees failed to honestly advise him about the value of his ownership in the franchise in pursuit of their financial interests. Bank of America allegedly told Rothman and two other minority owners the franchise was worth $3 billion when they initially attempted to exit the partnership in mid-2020. The bank and Snyder also misled the minority partners about his intention to sell the franchise, according to the complaint. Bank of America's actions allowed them to charge substantial fees, make significant profits, and garner great notoriety and market cachet by being the lead investment bank for the sale of the franchise, Rothman claims in the complaint. Rothman, Dwight Schar, and Fred Smith had been minority partners with Snyder since 2003 until they broke ties in the sale of their collective 40% ownership stake to Snyder for $875 million in 2021, according to the complaint. Rothman had a 15.16% stake. Rothman and his fellow minority owners initially learned of the bank and Snyder's scheming in early 2020 when it was revealed Snyder had bypassed the franchise's board to unilaterally obtain a $55 million loan, according to the complaint. Snyder made false representations to conceal the loan from the board, which Bank of America knew or should have known, Rothman claims in the complaint. The circumstances surrounding the bank's approval of Snyder's loan have caught the attention of federal prosecutors in the Eastern District of Virginia, according to ESPN. The bank's approval of the loan allowed the bad actors to disguise improper financial dealings, cash flow problems, and internal franchise self-dealing to the financial detriment of the minority owners, according to the complaint in Florida court. Snyder's improper relationship with Elliot McCabe, the managing director of the bank's sports finance and advisory board, also enabled him to allegedly embezzle funds from season ticket holders' accounts for his personal use. On one occasion, Bank of America silenced a franchise employee with knowledge of the scheme with a payoff, according to the complaint. Rothman further alleges that Bank of America enabled Snyder in his attempts to conceal his financial misconduct and interfere with due diligence during Rothman, Schar, and Smith's efforts to sell their shares in 2020. During that process, according to the complaint, Snyder publicly and privately insinuated that he would expose dirt on various individuals who interfered, including the NFL commissioner, other owners, and league officials. Rothman is seeking $75 million in damages for seven counts of civil and criminal offenses, including violations of the Racketeer Influenced and Corruption Organizations Act, or RICO, conspiracy by coercion, and breach of fiduciary duty. And our next article is written by Ben Tobin. The headline, Reeves Farm looks to be next big Chatham County community. Move over, Chatham Park, the next big mixed-use Chatham County community, is well on its way. Reeves Farm, a nearly 500-acre mixed-use development that will include more than 1,500 homes and a variety of restaurants, grocery stores, entertainment spots, and trails, received rezoning approval from the Pittsboro Board of Commissioners in November, giving it the green light to make major progress in 2024. Edward Holmes Jr., Carter Kelly, and Buddy Keller, Carter's father, who are active developers in the Greater Triangle region, in December 2022 purchased 494 acres of what is currently a farm for nearly $19.6 million to be used for the project. The site is just west of Pittsboro and south of Highway 64 Business. In a presentation to the Pittsboro Planning Board in July, Holmes said he wants to integrate the development into the character of Pittsboro. I'm looking at it a lot differently than an out-of-town developer would because I have a personal interest and I have friends that live here, Holmes said. I don't want to be embarrassed by having something that they come back and say, you really messed up this town. Reeves Farm isn't alone as far as proposed mixed-use communities in Chatham go. Turkey Creek, a roughly 140-acre mixed-use community with more than 300 planned housing units, not far from the proposed VinFast electric vehicle plant in Moncure, also received rezoning approval in November. And in Chatham Park, the 7,100-acre community flanking Pittsboro, more houses and other developments continue to pop up as people look to live in Chatham County, which touts cheaper land than when compared to Wake, Durham, and Orange counties. With 8,000 jobs on the line, Wake County looks to recruit big companies in 2024. This article is written by Lauren Onasorge. Around 8,000 potential jobs are in the pipeline as the Wake County Economic Development Team works to secure new investments in the Raleigh region in 2024. Michael Haley, Executive Director of Wake County Economic Development, recently said his team was in discussions linked to 45 active projects. If the region were to win all of them, it would add up to $3.6 billion in potential investment. Active projects are defined as companies that economic development officials have directly communicated with in the past 30 days. The figures have been pretty consistent this year, Haley said. There have been some wins. Over the past 12 months, his team has announced $444 million in capital investment, amounting to 475 new jobs in the county. Those wins include Forge Nano, which recently picked Mooresville for a 200-job lithium-ion battery plant. That project has already started hiring in the region. This month, luxury watchmaker Audemars Piguet announced plans to invest $22 million and create 105 jobs at a new service center at Raleigh Iron Works. Much of Haley's team's efforts are focused towards certain industries where Wake County has an advantage due to its workforce, such as tech, life sciences, clean tech, and advanced manufacturing, he said. Educational resources, coupled with the companies already here, help fuel a competitive workforce. Going into 2024, Haley said the big challenges aren't local. The concerns we do hear from companies are related to macroeconomic challenges like interest rates and the cost of capital, the tightness of the labor market across the country, and other broader challenges, Haley said. Like the state as a whole, office projects have been down. Statewide, Chris Chung, CEO of the Economic Development Partnership of North Carolina, said office projects, such as companies looking to relocate their headquarters, have started to come back, but the activity is not at levels similar to before the COVID-19 pandemic. It's a trend that rings true in Wake County. However, we are starting to receive a few new projects that are either office-only or have an office component to them, Haley said. While the office project pipeline isn't as robust as we would like, I am encouraged by the trajectory. Haley said the Audemars Piguet win could signal that some of those opportunities are returning to the Triangle. Amid the rise of remote work, the Triangle has several open office spaces that could entice a large employer in 2024. SAS in Cary, for example, this year put two buildings at its headquarters campus on the market for sublease, and the more than 170,000 square foot complex that used to house the Citrix operation in downtown Raleigh is available for sublease. According to Seville's, the Raleigh-Durham region had 3.5 million square feet of office up for sublease in the third quarter. Compare that to the same period last year when it was 2.9 million square feet. Syneos Health seeks turnaround after $7 billion deal to go private. This article is written by Zach Ezone. One of the Triangle's largest public companies went private in 2023 as the region lost yet another headquarters for a major company. A consortium of investment firms, including Elliott Investment Management, Patient Square Capital, and Veritas Capital, acquired Syneos Health for $43 per share in a $7.1 billion deal, taking the Mooresville company private. Syneos, which saw more than $5 billion in revenue in 2022, had been the Triangle's sixth largest public company, trailing only Martin Marietta, First Citizens, Wolfspeed, Enact Mortgage Insurance, and Vontier. The deal, announced in May, came as Syneos struggled to secure new business on the clinical side of its operations. After hitting revenue of about $5.4 billion in 2022, Syneos, as of early 2023, expected its annual revenue to drop between 4% to 7.8%. Syneos, which had around 30,000 employees to start the year, began slashing costs, which included right-sizing and realigning its workforce while streamlining its organizational structure. In an October statement announcing the closing of the sale, Syneos said the transaction would accelerate its transformation and fuel investments in technology. After the deal closed, Syneos named Colin Shannon CEO, replacing Michelle Keefe. Keefe, who became CEO in early 2022, was moved to the executive leadership team. Shannon previously was the CEO of PRA Health Sciences, a Raleigh contract research organization. In this role, he led the company through an initial public offering and later its 2021 sale to global pharma consulting firm Icon PLC for $12 billion. Shannon also previously held various executive roles at PPD, a Wilmington contract research organization that is now a subsidiary of Thermo Fisher Scientific. As a result of the sale, multiple Syneos executives were in line to receive major parachute payments totaling tens of millions of dollars. Wolf Speed sharpens focus on silicon carbide, Siler City, and this article is written by Lauren Onasorge. In 2023, Wolf Speed showed the Greater Triangle how bullish it is about a 1,800 job, $5 billion materials plant under construction in western Chatham County. It started last year after months of negotiations. The Durham semiconductor firm picked Siler City over a competing site in New York, swayed in part by the state incentives package worth more than $159 million. And Wolf Speed has at least so far delivered. The plant, expected to cover more than 1 million square feet at completion, broke ground earlier this year and is already hiring. CEO Greg Lowe said on an earnings call in October that the plant is on track to produce material in the first half of fiscal 2025. "We already hired and began training more than 100 people that will work at that facility," Lowe said. The company made some serious moves in 2023 to align its business toward the next generation semiconductors it plans to pump out. In August, Wolfspeed announced plans to sell its 280-employee radio frequency operation to Maycom Technology Solutions Holdings, a deal worth $75 million in cash and $50 million in Maycom stock. And in a statement, Lowe said, "Given the significant growth we've seen in automotive, industrial, and renewable energy markets, we believe this is the right time to further focus on scaling our power device and materials business to meet this accelerated demand. It's all about going all in on silicon carbide, the material that's growing in Durham and will soon grow in Chatham County. Boosted by the electric vehicle market, there's a supply-demand mismatch," Lowe says. "There will be more demand than there will be supply, certainly over the next couple of years and probably longer than that," he told analysts in October. But the stock market, at least for now, isn't convinced, as Wolfspeed shares are down around 30% for the year as 2023 comes to a close. But the stock, trading in the mid-40s of $40, has been on the rise since November. Fly Exclusive debuts on stock market after SPAC merger, and this article is written by Ben Tobin. Fly Exclusive, the fast-growing charter jet service based in Kinston, is now a publicly traded company. The company completed its merger with special purpose acquisition company SPAC, EG Acquisition Group Corporation, on Wednesday, and began trading on the New York Stock Exchange American Thursday under the ticker FLYX. Last year, the company announced it would go public via a merger with EG Acquisition Corporation in a deal that valued the company at $600 million. The stock debuted at $9.70 per share Thursday, but dropped by more than 42% throughout the day before closing at $6.85. The market cap was $118 million. "Today marks another milestone in our company's mission to elevate the private aviation experience," Fly Exclusive CEO and founder Jim Seagrave said in a statement Wednesday. "We built Fly Exclusive around the value that minutes matter for our customers, and this principle will continue to guide the principled approach that has defined our success in the industry." Founded in 2015, Fly Exclusive has become a powerhouse in a short period of time in the private jet space, telling the Triangle Business Journal in March that it projects to hit $522 million in revenue this year. In October, TBJ reported that Fly Exclusive is expanding its operations thanks to major funding from the state legislature. The North Carolina Global Trans Park, where the company is based, has a $30 million earmark in the new state budget to build a five-story headquarters and pilot training center. The Global Trans Park is a 2,500-acre industrial airport site in Kinston, housed under the North Carolina Department of Transportation. Representatives of the company said at the time the new headquarters will include up to five full-motion flight simulators to help train and certify pilots. Those simulators will occupy 10,000 square feet across three stories and five bays. The facility will also include 14,000 square feet of classrooms and training space, a rooftop terrace, and a 22,000 square foot air operations center. In the fall, Fly Exclusive added its 100th jet to its fleet. And our next article is written by Lauren Onasorge. The headline, 9 Clean Techs Working to Change the World from North Carolina. North Carolina is trying to lure clean tech investments and in the process is creating a sustainably focused startup cluster in the Triangle. There are major challenges, particularly in a year where a valuation correction has made it tough to fundraise. According to Climate Tech VC, climate-related startups saw a 40% drop in funding for the first half of the year, but companies say are pushing forward and have big plans for 2024. North Carolina is clearly trying to create its own niche in the sector. The state has announced more than 17,500 jobs in the clean energy sector since 2017, representing projects bringing more than $22.1 billion in capital investment to North Carolina. That includes sustainably focused companies like ChemPower and Epsilon Advanced Materials, which this year picked the state for investments expected to create hundreds of jobs. Chris Chung, CEO of the Economic Development Partnership of North Carolina, said the state's energy policy and competitive power prices can give it an edge over other locations, particularly in battery-related projects. All things being equal, they would prefer to be in a place that their power is being generated from renewable or clean energy sources, he said. But the state isn't just in line to recruit clean tech companies, it's also creating them through homegrown startups. Here are 9 clean tech startups we're watching. Plant D. It's been a big 2023 for the startup, which is making construction materials derived from grass. Over the summer, the startup, which has a major production facility in Oxford, signed its first major partnership with home builder D.R. Horton, a win co-founder Josh Dorfman called validating for the materials his firm has been developing as a carbon-friendly alternative to wood. Nala Membranes. The company, headquartered in RTP, looks to advance water purification technology by developing membranes that can tolerate disinfectants like chlorine. The startup was co-founded by mother-daughter team Sue Meacham and Judy Riffle in 2018 and has started sending out samples. The next goal is to scale up and potentially do pilot trials with customers. Natrix, spelled N-A-T-R-X. The Raleigh startup, led by Leonard Nelson, has had a big year, raising $3.5 million in October to fuel its expansion, and soon after that, it secured a $1 million National Science Foundation grant to continue to develop its remote sensing technology. The firm dry prints a concrete material used in coastal resilience, everything from artificial coral reefs to seawalls, and it's also developing a technology platform that can assess how coastlines erode. Green Places, the Raleigh sustainability startup, which closed on $13 million over the summer, is developing software that allows companies visibility into their own carbon footprints, as well as insights to help them reduce emissions and save money. It's led by Alex Lassiter and is hiring. Nuvoto. The Raleigh-based water treatment technology firm uses a plant called Knaf, grinding it into particles before reassembling it into compressed bricks. Those bricks are then used in wastewater treatment facilities where the particles disperse and become the medium for biofilm to grow, filtering fertilizer nutrients like phosphates and nitrogen. The firm is led by CEO Jonathan Lister and is working to expand internationally. Keel Labs. That's K-E-E-L, Labs. The Morrisville startup, founded in 2017, made a big splash at Paris Fashion Week this year when dresses made from its kelp-based materials walked the runway. Keel Labs is working to develop seaweed into textiles. The firm, founded in 2017 and led by Tessa Callahan, moved its headquarters to the Triangle last year. Net Power. The company, one of the Triangle's newest public entities, thanks to a SPAC deal that raised more than $670 million in June, is developing zero-emissions power plants. The Durham firm came out of Eight Rivers and is now led by Danny Rice. Its first utility-scale clean energy power plant is being built in Texas. Finite, and this is spelled P-H-I-N-I-T-E. The Raleigh startup that recently disclosed a $3 million fundraise is trying to turn a liability into a resource for farmers. The company, led by Jordan Fazy, is manufacturing fertilizer from manure. Jordan Fazy says most fertilizers produced in ways that are fueling the climate crisis. Finite is trying to change up the game, funding farmers in the process. And Nimble Energy. The Pittsboro Facilities Management Company is trying to save building managers money, says CEO Jeff Soplop. The firm helps managers manage energy usage, potentially saving them money. The company is in the process of raising $500,000. And our next article, written by Kaylee Thompson. Here are office vacancy rates around the Triangle. It's no secret that it's been a tough year for the office market, especially where vacancy rates are concerned. The Triangle saw office vacancy rates go from 14.02% in the first quarter to 14.47% in the third quarter, according to Triangle Business Journal space data. Many companies continue to vacate their office space in order to cut costs and adapt to remote work. And when factoring in available sublease space, the rate jumps over 20%. 2023 was full of headlines about companies downsizing their office footprints in the region. In March, Fidelity Investments moved out of its 116,300-square-foot office building on the edge of Research Triangle Park in Durham. Brooks Bell, a consulting firm for the tech industry, vacated 9,200 square feet on Hillsborough Street in downtown Raleigh for a space half the size. Citrix has vacated most of its 171,000 square foot building in downtown Raleigh, putting more than 150,000 square feet on the market for sublease. ICVIA said goodbye to its prominent office building along Interstate 40 in Durham, dumping 260,000 square feet of office space into the sublease market. But brokers still found ways to make deals in the difficult environment. The Midtown Plaza office building in North Hills has 79,200 square feet available for sublease. Despite that fact, the 330,000 square foot building sold for $132.9 million in mid-December. Some of the smaller towns are faring better than Raleigh, Durham, and Research Triangle Park. A construction company in Raleigh recently bought a small office building in Cary in order to double its office footprint to support growth and new hires. Want a VinFast car now? This Cary dealership is selling them. This article is written by Ben Tobin. The Vietnamese company behind the largest economic development project in North Carolina history has launched its first dealership in the Old North State. Leith Automotive Group, which operates dozens of dealerships in the region, has opened a VinFast electric vehicle dealership in Cary, the company announced Wednesday. The dealership is located within the Cary Auto Park at 2000 Auto Park Boulevard. The site for VinFast's proposed factory in Chatham County, a $4 billion investment set to bring up to 7,500 jobs to the area, is located about 20 minutes from the dealership named Leith VinFast. Danny Williams, the chief operating officer at Leith Automotive Group, said in a statement that the company is very excited to be one of the first VinFast dealers and be the representation of VinFast as the first dealer in North Carolina, particularly alongside the state's groundbreaking automotive manufacturing plant. After interacting with VinFast's executive team and experiencing their vehicles firsthand, we were captivated by the brand and knew it was a perfect addition to the Leith Automotive Group. VinFast recently announced plans to leverage a distribution network in the United States, noting in November that it received more than 70 dealership applications to sell its vehicles across the country. The company has showrooms in California and has facilitated some direct sales in the United States. The VF8 City Edition standard model comes with a roughly $47,000 price tag. This announcement marks a significant step forward for VinFast as the company tries to overcome setbacks and become profitable. The company has been hemorrhaging cash in 2023 as it tries to ramp up sales for its vehicles in an EV market that is growing more competitive and that may be losing steam among consumers. The company initially said in 2022 it wanted to have its Chatham plant up and running in 2024, but the timeline was pushed back to 2025. The company is receiving significant financial support from its chairman, billionaire Pham Nhat Vuong, Vietnam's richest person, and its parent company, Vingroup, which has also accounted for a large share of VinFast vehicle sales. And our next article is written by Laura Brumette. Chipotle, City Barbecue, Fifth Third Bank join Wendell Falls development. A giant mixed-use development in the small Wake County town has added more tenants to its retail section. Wendell Falls, an over 1,000-acre master plan community in Wendell, has announced another round of tenants. Three new companies will join the project's retail lineup. City Barbecue, Chipotle, and Fifth Third Bank have signed on as tenants. All three will be part of Treelight Square, the development's initial phase of retail space that is nearly complete. Chipotle will fill a 2,335-square-foot space with a 300-square-foot patio attached. The restaurant will also have a drive-thru, a new feature the company is rolling out. So far, only one other Chipotle in the Triangle area has a drive-thru. However, the drive-thru lane is only for picking up online orders. Customers cannot order at the drive-thru. Another Chipotle drive-thru restaurant is planned for a new shopping center in Raleigh. City Barbecue will fill a 3,567-square-foot space at the Treelight Square to serve its pulled pork, baked beans, corn pudding, and collards. The restaurant will also have a drive-through lane. The fast casual chain was founded in Columbus, Ohio, and has locations in Cary, Garner, Durham, and two restaurants in Raleigh. Fifth Third Bank will open a retail branch in a 2,030-square-foot space. The location will feature two drive-through lanes. The Chipotle and City Barbecue spaces are expected to break ground in early 2024 with delivery planned for late summer. The Fifth Third Bank is already under construction with an anticipated opening date in late spring. Treelight Square is anchored by a Publix grocery store and features other national brands such as Starbucks and McDonald's. Other recently announced retail tenants include a bottle and sandwich shop called Falls Local, Wingstop, Sonder Coffee, and Bojangles. A second phase of retail development is already in the works, called The Collective. The phase is planned for an area to the north of Treelight Square along Highway 87. It will break ground in 2024 and feature more regional retail tenants and fewer quick-service restaurants. When complete, Wendell Falls will have up to 2 million square feet of retail space. The residential portion of the development will eventually hold around 4,000 units, with single-family homes, townhouses, and apartments. Residents began moving into the community in 2015. Raleigh picks Omni for downtown luxury hotel. This article written by Laura Brumette. After a year-long search, the city of Raleigh in September picked a hotel group based in Dallas for a major hospitality project. Omni Hotels and Resorts is set to build a luxury hotel downtown, promising an upper upscale atmosphere. The hotel will sit on a single-acre lot on Fayetteville Street near the Raleigh Convention Center and the Martin Marietta Center for Performing Arts. The property is owned by the city of Raleigh. Omni was the winner of a request for information, or RFI, process conducted by JLL on behalf of the city. The Omni Raleigh Hotel will have 550 guest rooms and 55,000 square feet of meeting space, along with a rooftop pool, a spa, fitness center, and several food and beverage outlets. It's expected to open in 2027. We are thrilled to be joining the downtown community in Raleigh and are inspired by its continued economic growth, said Kurt Alexander, president of Omni Hotels and Resorts. Omni Hotels and Resorts is committed to providing elevated hospitality experiences which align with this dynamic destination. The property is the third for Omni in North Carolina, including the Omni Grove Park Inn in Asheville and a location in Uptown Charlotte. The hotel group is known for developing and owning properties that are four stars and above. The addition of 550 hotel rooms within walking distance from the Raleigh Convention Center is essential to the success of the center's approved expansion plans, according to the city. Fayetteville Street would be extended to South Street as part of the project, with a second one-acre lot directly across from the hotel also up for development. The city was originally planning for an office tower for that property, but has now switched to a mixed-use tower with residential space. The city is offering an incentive of $30 million in public funding to be spent on parking and infrastructure assistance. Both lots are zoned for development up to 40 stories and are currently surface parking lots. Preston Hollow Community Capital, a Dallas finance firm, and Omni have agreed to fund the project without any financing contingencies, according to a report from the city. An estimated cost for the project has not been announced. And our next article, written by Kaylee Thompson, is headlined, Durham Apartments Net $24 million return in sale to Virginia firm. A multifamily development in a busy corridor between Durham and Chapel Hill has sold for $73 million to a Virginia-based real estate investment firm. Jefferson Apartment Group acquired 501 Estates in Durham from New Jersey-based Spyglass Capital Partners LLC in early December, according to Durham County deed records. The community off Highway 501 has 270 units with a mix of apartments, townhomes, and cottages. Spyglass Capital Partners acquired the community originally called Century Trinity Estates Apartments in 2019 for more than $49 million. The complex was built in 2001, with unit renovations starting in 2019. More than 60% have been fully renovated. Jefferson Apartment Group will continue the renovations, according to its website. Whether rent will be raised is unknown, as Jefferson Apartment Group did not respond to requests for comment. The units range from 1 to 3 bedrooms, with rent starting at $1,452 for a one bedroom. The townhomes and cottages have 3 or 4 bedrooms with garages, and they start at $2,235 per month, according to the property's website. The property is off Garrett Road, north of Highway 15501, a corridor that has seen a lot of development activity lately. The Kelby Farms apartment sold for $84.75 million in September. Northview Partners is planning almost 400 units near Interstate 40 and Highway 501. Also, 930 units are proposed in the area. The renovated units at 501 Estates have 9-foot ceilings, walk-in closets, stainless steel appliances, a balcony or patio, granite countertops, and double vanities. Spyglass Capital Partners also upgraded some of the amenities, including the clubhouse and swimming pool. It also added a fitness center, a covered pavilion with outdoor kitchen and fireplace lounge, a pet spa, and a second dog park. The community is on 33 acres near the South Square Shopping Mall. The property at 240 Ivy Meadow Lane has a total assessed value of about $42.7 million. Jefferson Apartment Group is a full-service real estate firm that specializes in multifamily and mixed-use investments. Jupiter One Vets grow cash haul for stealthy Durham startup, and this article is written by Lauren Onasorge. Quietly, a trio of Jupiter One veterans is raising money for a new stealth startup. Agash Ganapathy, former senior director of product management at Jupiter One, a Morrisville-based firm operating in the cybersecurity space, has teamed up with Charlie Duong and Austin Kelleher on a new endeavor referred to as Opine Market in securities filings. All three left Jupiter One in August. None of them have returned requests to comment on the new company. In September, the trio closed on a $50,000 fund that is a mix of debt, options, and securities. Initially, the target was $500,000, but it looks as though they'll have even more capital in the new year, as last week that sum increased to nearly $1.8 million from 10 investors. The fund is now targeted to raise $2.5 million, according to a recent securities filings. It's notable, as shifting valuations, what some have called an industry correction, have made for a tough environment to raise capital. According to the latest securities filing, $325,000 of the firm's fundraise will go toward paying executive officers, directors, or promoters. Opine Market registered to do business in North Carolina on September 11, but incorporated in August in Delaware. The group announced their new home on LinkedIn, with Ganapathy calling Duong and Kelleher literally the best I've ever worked with in terms of skill, tenacity, customer commitment, and business focus. And our next article is written by Ben Tobin. D.R. Horton eyes Greenville area for hundreds of new homes. The nation's largest home builder is making quite a splash in an eastern North Carolina county by planning a new subdivision with more than 220 homes. Texas-based D.R. Horton spent more than $6.25 million to buy 114 lots in Pitt County near the city of Greenville, according to Pitt County deed records recorded this month. The lot sits off Thomas Langston Road. The lots will be used for single-family homes and townhomes that will be part of D.R. Horton's new Ridgewood Farm subdivision, according to Mike Money, the company's city manager for eastern North Carolina. Ridgewood Farms is a new D.R. Horton community in Greenville consisting of 223 lots, Money said in an email. The single-family home plans range from approximately 1,700 square feet up to 2,800 square feet. Finishes include 9-foot first-floor ceilings, granite countertops, tile backsplash in kitchen, and RevWood flooring throughout the living areas. The townhomes will be part of the Builders Express series. The single-family home prices will start in the $300,000s, according to Money, and the townhomes will start in the mid-$200,000s of dollars. These are the latest housing developments to come to Pitt County, which had a population of 173,542 as of July 2022, according to estimates from the U.S. Census Bureau. Though land in eastern North Carolina is cheaper than in the Triangle, home prices still have gone up considerably over the years. As of October 2023, the median sale price for a home in Pitt County was $250,000, according to real estate brokerage service Redfin. In October 2018, that number hovered around $150,000. Money said D.R. Horton is bullish on Pitt County's and Greenville's growth. We have seen great success in the Greenville area due to strong employment from businesses such as ECU University, ECU Health, Thermo Fisher, and Hyster Yale, he said. We expect that our models will be open early in 2024 for future homeowners to visit and choose their next home. And the headline for our next article, insurer tries to avoid defending NC flight school sued by aspiring pilots. And this article is written by Lauren Onasorge. Old Republic Insurance Company no longer wants to defend a flight school based in eastern North Carolina in a lawsuit brought by aspiring pilots, and it's filed a federal lawsuit of its own. The dispute is linked to a lawsuit filed by a group of would-be pilots who sued the trustees of Craven Community College and its partner flight school, Tradewind Flight Services, accusing the school of trying to sell veterans a program that couldn't deliver, crushing career prospects in the process. The initial lawsuit was filed in 2021 with the Eastern District of North Carolina, but Old Republic claims Tradewind didn't tell it about the lawsuit until April of this year when there were tight response deadlines. Old Republic's policy includes defending the flight school in litigation, but it claims that's only when cases are reported to it in a timely fashion. Old Republic says that by the time it was looped in, the plaintiffs were already trying to dismiss the federal case and have it moved to state court. It was an action that defendants opposed in their filings, stating in a response that the students just wanted a proverbial second bite at the apple in state court. The delay impacted Old Republic's ability to investigate and defend the claims, according to the new lawsuit. A judge ultimately sided with the plaintiffs, and the case moved to state court, where Old Republic claims it shouldn't have to defend Tradewind. The Chicago-based group is asking a court to side with its stance. In the meantime, the case at the center of the dispute continues. The initial lawsuit claimed the flight school, later purchased by D2 Solutions, offered a program that was supposed to allow graduates to earn an airline or cargo pilot position with less than the federal mandate of 1,500 flight hours, something that requires special permission from the Federal Aviation Administration. The lawsuit claims that permission was never received, despite the school saying differently. Tradewind is represented by a group of attorneys, including James Hester of Cranville Sumner. Attorneys did not return a request to comment on the case. And our next article is written by Zach Ezone. Bankruptcies, job losses plague life sciences sector in 2023. Financial pressures this past year led to widespread layoffs and even some bankruptcies throughout the Triangle's life sciences industry. More than a dozen biotechnology, pharmaceutical, and medical device companies cut jobs in 2023. These cuts came from companies of all sizes, including global firms generating billions of dollars in revenue, to small startups trying to bring their first product to market. Pfizer, for instance, confirmed in October its plans to shut down operations at facilities in Morrisville and Durham. This was part of a broader cost-cutting effort as it sees a steep drop in demand for its COVID-19 products. While Pfizer would not say how many jobs would be affected by the closures, but its gene therapy manufacturing facility in Durham was projected to employ nearly 100 people. On the smaller side, the gene therapy firm Atsena Therapeutics trimmed its workforce despite raising about $24.5 million to further extend its runway. Another gene therapy firm, Opus Genetics, also scaled back its workforce and shifted its development plans to focus on its two lead assets. Triangle Business Journal confirmed nearly 900 job cuts at companies either headquartered on or with significant operations in the Triangle. This doesn't include numerous companies that scaled back their workforces without disclosing details on the number of jobs affected. One of the largest layoffs came from Medigago, a Canadian vaccine developer that shut down operations in February. As a result, the company closed a manufacturing facility in Research Triangle Park, leading to the termination of 164 employees. Later in the year, AgBiome, an agriculture-focused biotech and RDP, disclosed plans to lay off up to all 123 employees as a result of a difficult funding environment. Private financing for venture-backed companies in the U.S., United Kingdom, and Europe totaled about $10.3 billion in the first half of 2023, a steep decline from the $21.7 billion in the first half of 2021, according to a mid-year industry report from Silicon Valley Bank. Venture-backed companies weren't the only ones affected by the difficult funding environment. Some public companies also struggled to raise capital this year, leading to multiple bankruptcies. And in our remaining minutes, we'll read as much of this next TBJ Plus as we can. This one is written by David Pertell, digital editor of the Triangle Business Journal. North Carolina counties see surge in wealth. The gains made across North Carolina amid a boom in economic development over the past decade are showing up in household wealth. A new study from Smart Asset shows the counties that have made the biggest jumps, and the Triangle is well represented. Orange County leads the state in overall wealth increase, with median home value raw growth of $228,000 and income growth of $23,600 over a 10-year period. The study analyzed investment income, property values, and median income over the course of 10 years. Wake County comes in second place, and fast-growing Chatham ranks fifth. Elsewhere, the rapid rise of the Carolina coast is evident in the rankings, with three counties represented. The top 10 counties for wealth growth: Orange, Wake, Union, Currituck, Chatham, Cabarrus, Pender, Mecklenburg, Franklin, and Brunswick. And we'll go ahead and stop there, as we have run out of time for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Derek Frost, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The Triangle Business Journal is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. So long until next time, and thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.